Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihave. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chadana Adhava Chukananda Goswami Maharshi Prabhupada. ISKCON founder Acharya Shilabhupad Kijaya. Ananda Gauti Vaishnava Vrindi Kijaya. Namacharya Shilaharidas Dalton Kijaya. Vrind, say Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sudwaita Garadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Kijaya. Shishi Radhakrishna Govagabra Sayam Kun Radhagunda Kiri Govardhan Kijaya. Vrindavanam Kijaya. Vrindavanam Kijaya. Navadeep Dham Kajaya, Jagannath Swami Kajaya, Namunamai Kajaya, Shrimati Vilasa Devi Kajaya, Samrita Bhakta Vrindi Kajaya, Go Vrindanda. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the Shri Guru and Gauranga, Shrivopad Kajaya. So we're not going to do Bhagavatam today.
Yeah, we should count the
other one? No, none, because it's an initiation.
Okay, yeah,
is there incense burning somewhere? Because I'm having trouble breathing. If you could put it out.
Yes.
Need some fresh air. Mm-hmm. Okay, so today we are celebrating Vaishnava Diksha, Vaishnava initiation, and we're in Amlisgarh. And we have people watching us from all over the world on the internet. So, Om Aganati Madandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yeda Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, we'll speak about Vaishnava Diksha, but also we should note that it is the commemoration of the appearance day of Vrindavan Das Thakur today. So, I also want to speak about him. Because Vrindavan Das Thakur, wait till they finish speaking. So Vrindavan Das Thakur is the author, of course, of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The Chaitanya Bhagavat is the most elaborate literature on the early pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Navadvip and Mayapur. And of course, there's other Vaishnava literatures about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, of course, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is our primary literature, and there's also the Chaitanya Mangal. So, Vrindavan Das Thakur is known as the Veda Vyas, or the. We'll wait till everyone finishes speaking before we speak. Yes, Vrindavan Das Thakur is known as the Veda Vyas in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. In fact, that's described by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there's an interesting story about Vrindavan Das Thakur's birth or appearance. His mother's name was Narayani Devi. And the interesting thing about Narayani Devi, of course, her husband actually passed away, or her father. Her husband passed away at an early age, and she was actually, when she was a little girl, she was in the house of Srivas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered her his remnants, and he gave her remnants. She was just like 2, 3 years, 4 years old, something like that, and he gave her those remnants, and he said to her, chant Hare Krishna. And then she began to not only chant Hare Krishna, but dance in ecstasy and roll on the ground. So it's because of taking Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remnants that she was able later on to give birth to a great devotee, Vrindavan Das Thakur. Later on, she lived in the house of Vasudev Dutt because her husband passed away. And Vasudev Dutt, of course, is that great devotee who was, as Prabhupada said, compassion personified, because Vasudev Dutt said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I'm willing to stay in the material world forever to liberate all the conditioned souls. It's nice, isn't it? So you have to offer garland to Prabhupada. Yes. That's the important thing. Oh, you never offered the garland to Prabhupada. It's interesting. So Vasudev Dutt is like compassion personified, and she was living in his house as a maidservant because her husband had passed away, and then her son, Yeah, I can tell you. Careful of the glass. Vrindavan Das Thakur became the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. And so in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's many interesting stories about Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur also was the last disciple, initiated disciple of Lord Nityananda. And as the last initiated disciple of Lord Nityananda, before Lord Nityananda left this world, he accompanied Janavamata. Janavamata, of course, is Lord Nityananda's wife. Lord Nityananda had two wives, Vasudha and Janava. And he accompanied Janavamata actually all over India, and especially to Vrindavan, and also to this place known Kituri, where Narottama Das Thakur had one of the first really big celebrations of Gaur Purnima and installed deities in Kateri. And during this celebration of Gaur Purnima and Kateri, Narottama Das Thakur chanted some bhajans, or chanted some songs, Lila Kirtan, in relationship to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's described that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, and all their associates who had previously left this world manifested themselves again, and they were dancing during the kirtan. And then when the kirtan ended, they all disappeared again. Pretty interesting, isn't it? So I've never been in a kirtan like that. So, but there's also another story about a kirtan like that. Brajanaba, who was Krishna's great-grandson, when he went to Vrindavan, he had a kirtan, and then Krishna appeared, and the gopis appeared, and everybody, all Krishna's associates appeared. So that's a powerful kirtan. So today is the appearance day of Vrindavan Das Thakur, so we should remember him, and perhaps the devotees later can read a little bit from the Chaitanya Bhagavat about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So primarily today we are talking about Vaishnava Diksha or Vaishnava initiation, where the devotee is taking initiation today. So we'll talk about what is the purpose of initiation, then we'll talk about what does initiation mean in terms of what you have to do and how it connects you to Krishna consciousness. So of course, the purpose of Vaishnava initiation is the very purpose of Krishna consciousness itself. So the purpose of Krishna consciousness, obviously, to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in his six surrendering principles, you know, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, always understand the Lord is maintaining one, and always understand the Lord is protecting one, and to have no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord, and finally to remain meek and humble at all times. These are the six surrendering principles taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So to drill down further into the purpose, the reason we always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna and follow the other principles is that so we can revive our original spiritual nature. All of us, we have an original spiritual nature which we've forgotten. We are reading a verse yesterday in the Srimad Bhagavatam on Lord Kapiladeva's teachings, where Prabhupada was saying that in this material world, it's like one is intoxicated, and under the influence of intoxication, one forgets his real identity, and also under the influence of dreams, and also under the influence of unconsciousness. I mean, one forgets who he is. And so the process of Krishna consciousness is to remind us of who we are so we can understand our eternal, blissful, spiritual nature. Our nature is there. It hasn't been lost. It's just been forgotten. Another example I sometimes use is like someone who has amnesia. Amnesia is a particular illness. Sometimes people get it when they get hit on the head. And sometimes I've seen it when they have an automobile accident. They may actually forget everybody, or even forget what happened the last few days before the automobile accident, or even forget the automobile accident itself. So the process of reviving someone's memory when they have amnesia is to keep telling them about who they are. You know, who are you? Well, this is your wife. This is your, these are your children. This is your mother. This is your father. This is your country. And it's interesting. One time someone, this has nothing to do with the class, but I just remember something. One time someone was hit on the head and they started speaking a language that they had never learned before perfectly. And of course that comes from past lives, obviously. I mean, if someone started speaking French and they never studied French in this lifetime, that means from past lifetime. So it's not getting hit on the head is always bad. Sometimes it's useful. So you have to keep reminding them again and again. In other words, they practice doing the same things they did before. And of course, that's devotional service and practice, the Vaidhi Bhakti. Because we've forgotten our nature, so we have to practice things that are our real nature. You know, whether it's the deity worship or the chanting or whatever. And of course, ultimately, by practice, one comes to the point of starting to remember. Because remembrance doesn't come immediately. Just like the sun, the example in the Gita is the sun, when it rises in the morning, it doesn't really give full illumination immediately. Prabhupada said in the beginning, you see some shadows, just some shadows. And then after that, you see black and white. And after that, you may see the colors and the different forms, and you see everything perfectly. So it takes some time. As Prabhupada said, devotional service is a gradual process. But even in the beginning, according to the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that there's immediate relief from all distress. So that's immediate. That's the first thing that happens. I mean, later on, there's other things like, you know, happiness, unlimited happiness, and you start to cry in liberation, and you can attract Krishna by your devotion. But immediately in the beginning, even in the very beginning of Vaidhi Bhakti, there's relief from all distress, because one, even though there may be some distress present in the adiyatmika, adibodhika, and adidaivika kleshas, that means the body and mind are the living entities, or the material nature in general, one is knows that he's different, he or she is different from that distress. At least you have that recognition. That recognition, even though, you know, you're still experiencing pain, obviously, in different ways, you know, pain, emotional pain, physical pain, psychological pain. But still, you know, there's a separation between you and the pain that's going on, or you and the material identity. So that's the beginning of Krishna consciousness. So that's a real benefit. Having a higher understanding. And there's other benefits too, many benefits of having coming to Krishna consciousness, even in the beginning, Vaidhi Bhakti, is that one has a goal in life. Because without having a goal in life, a purpose, then life is boring, useless. It's not that life is simply meant for living, or for eating for the sake of living, and they're just going on like an endless cycle, because that's called samsara. But life is meant for some higher purpose. Just like before I joined the Krishna consciousness movement, I asked my mother, you know, what is the purpose of life? And she said, the purpose of life is for you to become a doctor. I said, well, what's the purpose of that? And she said, well, the purpose of that is to please me. Talking, my mother was famous. I said, so what's the purpose of that? And she said, well, that's your purpose in life, to please your mother. I said, well, what about becoming a doctor? We said, well, then you can have a purpose of helping people. And I said, well, if I help people, will they still die? You know, doctor. And my mother said, yes. I said, what's the use? Whether you keep people alive a few minutes or a few days or a few years longer, and they ultimately have to die, and we are the body, you know, because that was my mother's philosophy. You are the body. When you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing beyond. Actually, even when I went to a religious program, one of my religious programs when I was young, the religion that I was brought up in, the teacher was saying, when you're dead, you're dead, class. And that's in a religious ceremony. So I said, so what's the use of anything? Of course, then I became an existentialist. Anyway, started to follow Sartre and Nietzsche. So anyway, what's the use of anything? Nothing has any purpose. Or, as the Beatles say, nothing is real, strawberry fields forever. You ever hear that? So then I thought, well, this doesn't make sense. And all I should just do is just sit and do nothing. Because if nothing has a purpose, ultimately you have to die, and it doesn't matter after you die what happens. Then why should I do anything? So I thought, this doesn't make sense. So I started studying different religions. Finally, I came to Prabhupada's books and Bhagavad Gita, and then I understood that life did have a purpose. And so really, that's one of the main things we get out of Krishna consciousness. It gives us a purpose, you know, some meaning to life. Otherwise, as, you know, Shakespeare said, you know, life's a poor player. Anyone here has heard Shakespeare before? Life's a poor player that struts and frets upon his stage and then is heard no more. Anyone remember that quote? Nice quote. Life's a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. Oh, that is depressing. And that's why the existentialists basically are depressed individuals. Because it has no purpose. So it gives us a purpose, you know, makes life joyful when you have a purpose. Then you can tolerate different things. And then it also, Krishna consciousness also gives you a way to help others, which is really important. Because by nature, of course, Prabhupada said, and the Vedas tell us that by nature we're servants, because ultimately Jivaras Guru Bhoi Nitya Krishnas, we're servants of Krishna. But being servants of Krishna means that we have a natural propensity to serve Krishna's parts and parcels too. As stated in the Issa Upanishad, Yastu Sarvani Bhutani, Atmana evanu pashati sarabhutesha chatmanam tatoman vigagupshate. That one who sees actually sees that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Of course, Krishna also says the same thing. Mami pamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasik stani indriyani prabhati stani karshati. That, so we have a natural inclination to serve Krishna, and serving Krishna means serving everyone who's connected with Krishna, which means everyone's part and parcel. So, better than becoming a doctor, and there's no problem if a devotee's a doctor, you know, we encourage them. But better than becoming a doctor is to become a doctor of the soul, where you can help people so they don't die. I said that to my mother. What if I could help people so they don't die? She said, impossible. So, that's where I disagreed. I wasn't such a good son. So we can help people. So, isn't that amazing? You can the best charity work, social welfare work, we can learn about. So with so many benefits to Krishna consciousness, to becoming a devotee of Krishna, it's really, there's no downside. There's no detriment. There's no negative. It's like when you make a decision in life, you think about the pros, the cons, and interesting points. That's called a PMI. The pluses, minuses, and interesting points, isn't it? That's what professionals do when they're actually analyzing different courses of action. Pluses, minuses, what we do in the GBC too. Whenever we talk about a new proposal, we talk about the PMI, the pluses, minuses, interesting points. Well, with devotional service, there's only pluses. You know, the minus is you get rid of your miseries. That's not even a minus. So when you got something, it's only pluses. And you know, there's a few interesting points, you know. Like you get to see Krishna in the spiritual world. You get to have loving relationships with the other devotees. I mean, so many interesting points. That, wow, what's the reason for not taking up Krishna consciousness? Go for it, as we say. So, anyway, so these are the whys of Krishna consciousness. W-H-Y. Yes. That means, why should we take up Krishna consciousness? So, oh my God, it's almost 8:30. I go longer than I thought. thought. Anyway, so, and then the hows, how to be Krishna conscious, that's what we're going to talk about right now. First of all, you have to be connected in a disciplined succession. Just like if you want electricity, you have to be connected to the powerhouse. You can't just put what we call a PowerPoint or a plug or whatever in the wall and get power from it. I mean, it looks the same, but it has no power to it, right? You can make a nice house, not connected to the powerhouse, and then plug everything into the wall, and you're not going to get any juice. So sometimes you see people who are look like gurus or spiritual or something like that. At least they have long hair and a beard. You know, Krishna consciousness is the opposite. We have short hair and no beard. So anyway, Prabhupada said, if you really want to be his disciple, you shouldn't have a beard. Prabhupada was actually very much against beard. Even though it's not against our Vaishnava tradition, still, to be Prabhupada's disciple, you can't have a beard. And because not necessary, and also reminds people what Prabhupada said, hippie seeds. And you may not know what a hippie seed is, but anytime a devotee in the old days started to have a little bit of hair, Prabhupada said, why are you growing these hippie seeds? Because in the old days, everyone had, you know, long hair and beard. You know, even I did. I came into the movement. I looked like such a Sai Baba. You couldn't even see me. It was like the aboriginal snowman or something like that. Zeti. So anyway, so the process of Krishna consciousness, getting back to the point, the process of Krishna consciousness is extremely easy. You have to connect it to the disciplic succession, like I mentioned before. Accept initiation in the disciplic succession, so you're connected. That's the electric line between Krishna and yourself. Just like between the powerhouse and the PowerPoint, there's an electric cable. So our electric cable is the unbroken disciplic succession. And of course, we are very fortunate to have His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada as our founder acharya. So everyone who works in this movement, whether you're a guru, temple president, devotee, whatever, has to be also connected to Srila Prabhupada. In fact, Srila Prabhupada is the primary source of shiksha in our movement. Everybody accepts Srila Prabhupada as siksha guru. Some of us accept Prabhupada as diksha guru, but Prabhupada is the primary siksha guru for everybody in the Krishna consciousness movement, whoever your diksha guru is. So that's our connection to Krishna. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasyo vidahu. Of course, there are other disciplic successions. I mean, there's the Rudra Sampradaya, Lakshmi Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya. But still, we're connected through the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya coming down through Prabhupada. So that's one thing. We connect with the present representative of the Sampradaya, disciplic succession. We take initiation. Initiation is required. Because even though the chanting or the Hare Krishna mantra is present even before initiation, as mentioned by Srila Prabhupada and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, doesn't require initiation to chant Hare Krishna. Even though that is the case, initiation is required because it's important to connect and get guidance from particular individuals or individual. Secondly, it's important to actually make a promise. Because without promises or vows, there's no real connection. That's what initiation, the essence of initiation, is a promise. And the promise is, you know, to chant Hare Krishna at least 16 rounds a day, four regulated principles. Because unless we make promises, we usually don't do things. I mean, that's just the way life is. Like, if you don't promise to chant 16 rounds, someday you chant one round, someday you won't chant any rounds, you know, I don't feel like it today. It keeps you off the mental platform. puts you on the intelligence platform. The intelligence platform is very important. The intelligence is described as the form direction of supersoul. The intelligence controls the mind controls the senses. Just like the example given in the Gita, you have the intelligence, which is the driver of the cart, and the passenger is the soul, and the reins are their mind, and the horses are the senses. So we have to make our intelligence very strong. So taking a promise, making a vow, is very important insofar as developing higher intelligence, or the stronger intelligence. You have to exercise it all. To have good intelligence, you have to exercise it. Because the mind is naturally, what, accepting, rejecting things. And the intelligence knows longer term. It's called ashrayas, you know, longer term. What is the important thing in life? What is the benefit? So in order to avoid coming under the control of the daily pushings and pullings, which happen, you know, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasha vegam, one has to make the intelligence strong. No, this is my goal in life. You know, in other words, and that's in all aspects of life, not just in sadhana. You know, let's say in eating what you eat, you should be thinking, my goal in life is to be healthy so I can serve Krishna. I mean, just like every day, I am exercising. You know, I'm doing some exercise every day, you know, push-ups and everything like that. And, you know, it's not a pleasant thing. I don't enjoy doing push-ups. It's not that it's just like, wow, ecstatic, I get to do push-ups today. You know, wow, wow, I really enjoy it. But I do it, that and other exercises, because my intelligence says, do it, because you want to keep your health together to serve Prabhupada. So that's an example of using the intelligence. The ultimate goal, the long-term goal, the mind is just like moment to moment. Oh yeah, I don't want to push up. I just want to lie down and sleep. But the intelligence says, no, push up. The mind is saying, no. So that's why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, sometimes we got to beat the mind with shoes or a cane or something like that. Because you just know, this is the right thing. Do the right thing. And the mind is saying, no, do what I want. So every day it's like a struggle. No, no, me, me, me. And so you make the intelligence strong. So that's Krishna consciousness. And that's basically the process. You know, it's quite easy. And of course, as Prabhupada did or mentioned, in every initiation, we have the 10 offenses on chanting, things to be avoided. I'll mention them real quick because everybody knows them. The first offense, of course, is the blasphemy of the devotees who, or in any religion, I'm doing a purported recitation of the offenses, in any religion, anyone who's dedicated themselves to spreading God consciousness, serving God. I mean, one time a devotee asked Prabhupada, what about the Pope? Is he making spiritual advancement? And Prabhupada said, yes. Prabhupada said, yes. And the devotee was shocked, and Prabhupada, because he wasn't a member of the Hare Krishna movement. You know, sometimes devotees tend to be really fanatic. Unless you're a member of the Hare Krishna movement, you're as good as Robin. So, or as bad as Robin. So Prabhupada said, yes. So we don't want to criticize anyone who's dedicated, even if they don't have full understanding and, you know, understanding the Vedic literature. That's all right. But their intention, at least, their intention is good. They may not be perfect, but they, you know, they're on the path. So we don't blaspheme, and of course, we don't, the second offense is to consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, equal to an independent holy name, Lord Vishnu. I don't see anybody here who would have that problem, because nobody here is from India, right? I don't think, does anyone have that problem? No. So, we Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, on the other hand, we respect the demigods because they're servants of God. We don't blaspheme them. We don't disrespect them. I mean, Lord Shiva, the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavadam, Intashambhu. Third offense is disobey the order of the spiritual master. Of course, one should not follow the spiritual master blindly. One has the right to say why and ask for an explanation or explain why they're not able do something, and you know, it's a dynamic relationship. It's not just like, well, I don't know if anyone's seen this, but it's not like the clone army in the Star Wars series. In other words, everyone looks the same, you know, there's little clonies. That's not the point. Everyone should be an individual with individual right. Prabhupada wanted everyone to have individual intelligence and autonomy and Krishna consciousness. So the next offense is to blaspheme Vedic literatures, or any literatures that are in pursuance of the same conclusion, serving God and loving God. Next offense is to consider the glories of Hare Krishna to be imaginary. Next offense is to give some concocted, perverted, imaginative interpretation of the holy names. Next offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting. In other words, you do drink some liquor and you chant Hare Krishna. At least after you're initiated, don't do it. Before you're initiated, you know, go ahead. Like Prabhupada said that a drunkard can become Krishna conscious if he chants Hare Krishna between each drink. But that's not for initiated devotees. It's not an instruction that we follow. Anyway, many instructions from Prabhupada like that we don't follow, right? So, anyway, next offense is to consider the chanting like some ritual, like karma kandya ritual, which means excuse me. Like if someone has some ritual, we do many rituals, but one should not equate the chanting with that particular ritual. It's like we wear a dhoti, that's a ritual, but the chanting is on a different platform. I mean, you can still chant, be Krishna conscious, even if you're dressed like that. It doesn't matter. So, but it's a tradition, it's a ritual, and we respect that. So, next offense is to explain the glories of the holy name to those who might blaspheme, the faithless, it's described. We're just careful. In other words, we explain things to people in accordance with how much they can hear. That's it. Not only the glories of the holy name, we don't give people more than they can hear. Like Jesus Christ said, as much as I have to tell you, but you cannot bear to hear. So we have to be careful not to burn people out. That happened to me the first time I walked in the Hare Krishna temple. They explained to me things I shouldn't have heard, like Kali Yuga is coming and I was going to be as short as a dwarf, living underground and eating other human beings. And I was a demon, you know, so I better get out of there. So therefore, it took me another 2 years to join the movement because I wasn't ready to hear that I was a demon at that point. So anyway, just be careful how you explain Krishna consciousness according to time, place, and circumstance. And the last offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna and maintaining material attachments. It's not offensive to have material attachments because we don't want you to feel guilty about these things. But it's offensive to try to increase your material attachments. You have to try gradually to get rid of the anarthas. Anarthas means basically material attachments. What are the material attachments? You know, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and the objects of those particular attachments. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that all these offenses are due to inattentive chanting. In other words, if you're attentive, you won't commit the offenses. So that's the negative. And of course, on the positive side, the method by which we can actually connect more to the holy names and make spiritual advancement is to remember what we're doing while we're chanting and study Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtika prayers, the eight prayers. Especially, one prayer is very important, is the Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram Patita Amam Shameya Bhavambudo Kribya Tadva Padapanga Jastita Duli Sadrasham Pachintya. In this prayer, Lord Chaitanya is teaching us how a devotee should cry out to Krishna, "Oh my Lord, I am trapped in this material world, this horrible material world," literally, that's the translation. "And please save me and fix me up as one of the atoms or specks of dust at your lotus feet." So this is like crying out for the Lord. Of course, this is characterized by Rupa Goswami's description of what's called lalyam, hankering, intense hankering. And that's the price for pure devotional service, or as Prabhupada one time said, tears are the price of pure devotional service. And, of course, hankering for material things is the opposite, according to Rupa Goswami, which causes us to deviate from Krishna consciousness. But hankering, I want you, Krishna, help me, save me, Krishna. I was explaining the other day that Krishna puts us in circumstances so we just like realize that we have to cry out for help, like Draupadi. Draupadi was in that circumstance that they were attempting to disrobe her in the assembly house. And she was trying to protect herself. And ultimately, she was unsuccessful. And the only remedy was Govinda! And then Krishna provided unlimited sari. So sometimes we're like that too. Of course, nobody's trying to grab my dhoti from me and disrobe me. Thank God. So, but sometimes we're thinking our own strength, our own intelligence will protect us. Not so much physical strength, but intelligence. You know, many times, this is my problem. I think that my intelligence, you know, I can figure things out, what should be done, you know, insofar as, let's say, management of the movement or my own life, or dealing with other people, which is the hardest thing, dealing with other people. Whew. And I'm thinking, oh, I know what's best, but then Krishna shows you, you don't know what's best. And you, this is beyond our ability to take care of it. That happens many times. These things are just beyond my scope, or as they say nowadays, beyond my pay grade. You ever hear that saying before? Beyond my pay grade. That's a business expression. It's beyond my ability. And so that at that point, Krishna does that all the time. And then you just have to go, oh, Govinda, Krishna, save me. Many times I've had to do that. You know, sometimes I even have to go to Lord Nrsingadev in Mayapur and say, Nrsingadev. I mean, there was one instance where we had some management problems somewhere and I was trying to change temple presidents and the temple president wouldn't step out. So I went to Lord Nrsingadev and said, please, change the temple president. You know, not so much get rid of this guy, but anyways, but you know, make him resign. And then it happens. So you have to be careful what you ask Lord Nrsingadeva for, because it'll happen. And there's many stories in Mayapur about people approaching Lord Nrsingadeva and difficulties, sicknesses, and Lord Nrsingadeva help. So that's ultimately what Krishna does. You know, I am Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, but I'm suffering in the material world. And please fix me up as one of the atoms or specks of dust at your lotus feet. So we chant Hare Krishna in that mode. So that's the essence of initiation. You know, connecting to the disciplic succession, taking promises or making promises, and then ultimately becoming happy if one continues with the process of Krishna consciousness, because there's Vaidhi Bhakti in the beginning, then Raghunuga Bhakti, and then Bhava Bhakti, and finally Prema Bhakti. And it gets better and better every day. But it's always takes some endeavor. It's not like a free ride that you take initiation and I got it made. I'm a gopi, or whatever you are. But you take initiation and then you start to get to work. Like when you get hired for business or work, that's when you start to work, right? It's not that someone hires you to work for Nokia or something like that. It's a finished thing. And you just go to work and say, okay, where's my money? No, you gotta produce or you don't get a salary like that. Of course, Nokia has some problems now, but Krishna never has a problem. He never goes bankrupt. So in that light, so we'll proceed with the initiation. Whoops. Actually, it went longer than I thought it would, which always happens. So, it is taking initiation today. And so what you should do is... Actually, we have your neck beads, and I think you have your regular beads here. So, we're going to have the fire sacrifice outside, where it's nice and warm. And you've got your neck beads, which you can put on right after right after I give you your name. So you should go to the deity's offer obeisances to Panchatattva, and then to Srila Prabhupada and to my not-so-humble self. And then, then you take your vows and get your initiation, all right? So, deities first. She's a very nice devotee. She's been in India a number of times, and Jayananda's been helping her in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Jayananda's our local yogi. He's actually published a book about yoga with pictures, not of himself, but pictures of Gokulchandra, another disciple of mine, who knows 10,000 exercises in yoga. Exercises that every single osteopathic physician thought were impossible. It means bone doctor. He's more like a contortionist, right? So, you got a lot of people watching. That's nice. So, you're ready, you can sit over there if I can see you. Okay, so what are the four regular principles?
No intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no eating meat, fish or eggs.
That's good.
I promise to follow them.
Oh, very nice. And how many rounds do you chant every day?
Minimum 16.
16 minimum. And, you know, Kadasi is always good to try to channel people. So. All right, so you get the beads with your right hand, and you get your name at the same time. So your name now is Ishwari Radha Devidasi. Ishwari Radha Devidasi. Ki jai. So Ishwari means, it's female from a controller. Like Krishna is what? Parama Ishwara. Krishna is the supreme controller. But there's someone who controls even Krishna. And that is, does anyone know who?
Radharani.
So one of Radharani's names is Ishwari. And so I added the Radha too, like Ishwari Radha Devi Dasi. It's a nice
wonderful
name.
Beautiful name. Thank you so much.
Ishwari Radha Devi Dasi in Kijai. So here, you have someone put the neck beads on, and then we can go outside now. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I hope everybody has warm clothes if we're going to go outside. At least you can sit close to the fire and stay warm by the fire. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nice to see everybody. So we're in Almagsgard with Panchatattva there. And the Vaishnavas, we're going to have the fire sacrifice outside. We'll see if we can broadcast outside. Does the internet work outside, or?